You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program, already in progress, Hour 2. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Russell Wilson Jr. III will join us coming up. Started to see some of these stories percolate on Super Bowl Sunday. Jason Lockenfora from CBS Sports, their NFL insider, said that Russell Wilson may be wanting some changes in Seattle, maybe some help. Maybe the Seahawks are taking phone calls and possible trades for Russell Wilson. So Russ will join us coming up. Walter Payton, Man of the Year. So he'll join us coming up here in about 20 minutes. Patrick Mahomes will undergo surgery tomorrow on his foot and what is known as turf toe. Rehab will be several months, but he's expected to make a full recovery. I think what you're finding now with the Kansas City Chiefs, unfortunately, if you're a Chiefs fan, is you're looking back on what you could have done and the adjustments you could have made in real time. And I didn't think Kansas City made any adjustments. Even watching last night again, knowing what the play was going to be or the end result, you're still watching to see what else was available for the Kansas City Chiefs. What else could they have done to protect Patrick Mahomes? I thought he held on to the ball too long. I thought he was trying to make a big play. I thought they could have run the football. I thought they could have done some things to soften up Tampa's defense a little bit or slow down the rush a little bit, and they did not. And Mahomes has since admitted that he's got to stop going for the big play all the time. And we had Tony Boselli, the Hall of Fame finalist and a great offensive lineman, and he was there on the sidelines, and he said, "I was surprised. They did not make any adjustments at all." Plus, he said, you know, you had guys chirping at each other. The defensive linemen, they were chirping at each other. You know, there was frustration, clearly frustration that settled in with the Kansas City Chiefs in that game. Like most Super Bowl champs, the Buccaneers are in danger of losing good players in free agency this offseason. Yesterday, Bruce Arians said that he's confident his players are close. The team will be able to figure it all out. Now, I got to start with the pass rushing star, Shaq Barrett, who could become a free agent. They have to reach deals with Antonio Brown, Leonard Fournette, Rob Gronkowski, Chris Godwin, Lavonte David, and Ndamukong Suh. You know, the list goes on and on and on. I think you're going to get a loyalty deal with Rob Gronkowski and maybe Antonio Brown because of what Tom Brady did for them. Leonard Fournette is probably going to want to get paid. Chris Godwin, does he want to try to be a number one receiver someplace? You know, if you would have said that Mike Evans would have one catch in the Super Bowl, Tampa would score three passing touchdowns, you would have said, wow, who scored the touchdowns? And you get Gronk with two and Antonio Brown with one. You know, Lavonte David and Ndamukong Suh, they may not be there next year. Loyalty is one thing, but there's so much cap room or only so much cap room, and that's where you have to basically build in, maybe this is a Southern-style Patriots team. Brady and Gronk, and then you get guys to fill in who want to be able to play for a team that has a chance to win another Super Bowl. And, you know, Leonard Fournette cost you $2 million. He's going to be asking for more than $2 million this next contract. And that might be one of those where you say, Leonard, thank you, but we're going to move on. And Brady was able to steady the ship. You know, the Patriots lost players all the time, but it came back to the consistency of you still had Tom Brady. It's the same thing with the Buccaneers. And I know I'm getting ahead of myself. The capologists might be hard at work, but for fans in Tampa, enjoy the Super Bowl. Then worry about the offseason and who's going to be back next season. You still have plenty of time for that. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle, @DPShow. I was watching some basketball last night. LaMelo Ball had 7 three-pointers. He's the only reason why to watch the Hornets. They're not a good team. But I don't even know if that's enough because you might just go, let me wait for the highlights with LaMelo Ball. He's fun to watch, and he's good. I don't know if he's great. I don't know if he'll be great, but I know that he is good right now. And I don't like the shot. But he made it. He makes it. It's not what you would want to draw up and say, here's how you shoot a jump shot. But he made 7 three-pointers last night. He didn't have a two-point attempt that he made. He made 7 field goals, and they were all three-pointers. But he also, you know, can dish out 10 assists. I mean, he's a lot of fun to watch. watching the Lakers, you know, they went into overtime with the Thunder. Like, what makes me just a little concerned here is they're playing down to their competition. They shouldn't be going into double overtime with the Detroit Pistons or the Thunder. And I know everybody gears up for the Lakers, but even if the Lakers are just going through the motions, you'd still think that we don't need overtime or double overtime here. And LeBron's starting to creep up there in minutes. LeBron, make no mistake about it. LeBron wants to win the MVP. And I'm going to guess that he's even more driven after watching what Tom Brady did. I think LeBron is going, he did that at 43. Why can't I turn back, you know, the clock here? Why can't I let people know, remind people, I can still be the most valuable player? And I think that he's driven to make that happen. The only concern I would have is, how driven are you to win the regular season MVP? Because the Greek Freak has won the MVP, and he gets to the postseason, and then it all comes apart. This is what, like, LeBron at this point, it's about winning another title. If you win the MVP, great. But if you said, hey, we'll guarantee you an MVP, but we won't guarantee you a championship. I want the championship. I don't care about the MVP. But also, you know, LeBron loves to be slighted. You know, if somebody else wins it, let's say Kevin Durant wins it, then it's another motivating tool for LeBron James. LeBron needs to win titles. Don't expend all your energy during the regular season to win that MVP. Now, do I think that it's probably him or Durant? I thought Steph Curry was going to win it because I thought with Klay Thompson, Golden State was going to be back and Steph Curry was going to have a great year for a team. I'm watching Luka. Luka's not winning the MVP. I mean, that team is not good. He's great. But you watch that team and it's Luka. Occasionally you'll get Porzingis to do something, but they should not have a losing record. But Luka has been fun to watch. The Joker. Had another big night last night. He's the guy that you watch and you go, how did he do that? Because there's nothing he does where you go, oh my God. But then you look at his numbers and you'll go, he had 42, he had 13, and he had 9 dimes. And you go, how? It's because basketball is about angles. If you have somebody who's smart enough to use the angles and they have the athleticism, then you get Michael Jordan. You know, Chris Paul can't jump, but Chris Paul's unbelievable. He's a Hall of Famer. It's understanding. You know, Larry Bird understands angles. And LeBron understands angles, and he has the, you know, as high a basketball IQ as we've ever seen. And he's athletic. Like, when you have it and you put it all together, then you get something truly amazing. A lot of guys, and we've all done this, where you're on the playground, you go, look at that guy. He's unbelievable. He's jumping out of the gym. And then you play, and then you realize he doesn't know how to play because he really never developed his game to understand the true angles of the game. And, you know, when you get guys who are able to do that, it's fun to watch. It's not fair to everybody else in the league. But Jokic, he knows how to play the game. And that always sounds so simplistic when you got guys, you go, you know, what's he do? He just knows how to play the game. And we've all been on the playground where you go, he just knows how to play. Nothing special. He just knows how to play. Right place, right time, right pass, pick and roll, backdoor cut. You know, just not relying on, let me make a highlight here. And you have those players. Basketball is littered with players like that. But
out of the back row, I just heard boring.
Yeah, what?
Jokic is so boring. Backing a guy down, oh, turn the channel.
Okay,
give me Steph for MVP. That's
so,
all
okay,
I want to
see. Wait a minute. So Jokic is supposed to go, I got to dress up my game here.
No, but
because for you,
but you don't. Come on, it's impossible to watch the Nuggets because of him. This is boring basketball. It's like old school. Give me Zion.
How many teams would love to have Jokic on their team?
Oh, all of them.
Okay.
But do you honestly, the other thing is too, until last year, he never won in the postseason.
What are you, like a 12-year-old kid?
Yeah, I'm like, I want to see like YouTube highlights. Dude, perfect.
Oh, that guy's boring. I can't watch that.
Can
you dunk?
My whole life, like all I want to watch is the Vince Carters of the world. I don't want to see the guys winning the titles, you know. And I'm not alone. A lot of people
I get it.
Like that.
I get it. But, you know, I still watch what the end result is.
I'd watch Zion warm up over Jokic in a game. I'm dead serious. He's so fascinating. You have no idea what's going to happen when Zion touches the ball. Jokic is just going to score or have an assist.
That's a great line. Great.
Steph Curry, if they get good, which it doesn't seem like is happening, could he sneak in an MVP?
No, unless they're, you know, yeah. What, if the team is better, then he would have a chance, but I don't, they have to manage his minutes.
Yeah. They're like the 10 seed at 12 and 12 now. Yeah. So they might not even make the playoffs.
Steve Kerr has talked about managing his minutes because their year is next year. This year is just, you know, how good is Wiseman, sort of figure out what we have. And then you make one more go at this and you hope that Klay Thompson is able to come back from the Achilles. But I thought Golden State was going to battle for supremacy in the West. I truly thought that. If you had Steph back, they were healthy, Klay Thompson back, Draymond Green, you put Wiseman in the lineup there, and, you know, that can be a formidable team. All right, let me get a couple of phone calls in here. Pete in Florida joins us. Hi, Pete. What's on your mind today?
I wanted to put in a plug for ex-Iowa Hawkeye and Jimbo Colbert's teammate, Jay Helgenberg. 11 years in the league, 7 times All-Pro, 2 times first-team All-Pro, and he never gets mentioned for the Hall of Fame.
All right. Well, he has now. Thank you, Pete. I think you get lumped in with all those Chicago Bear linemen.
Let's go through them.
But, you know, Jimbo Colbert was able to kind of stand out there. But I think Tony Boselli's a Hall of Famer. And I know it's difficult. He's been a finalist 5 times, and I wouldn't be surprised if next year is the year. It feels like there's a little bit of a groundswell here. And I've used my platform to mention him, certainly at this time of the year, and hopefully the football writers take another look at him. If he didn't get hurt, then this would not be a debate. But he did at age 30, and his career is as decorated as Calvin Johnson's. If you look at the number of all pros, Pro Bowls, and they both retired at the age of 30. You know, I've talked about Terrell Davis. Like, he was an MVP. He did have 2,000 yards rushing and won a couple of Super Bowls. It's not the same as Tony Boselli. But the, you know, the longevity aspect, do I think that, I mean, you have to be able to be available. Like, that's the first thing I want to know. Are you available to play? Like, Russell Wilson is going to join us here. Russ is one of 2 quarterbacks all time to start every game for his team from week 1 of his rookie season through his 9th year in the league. The only other quarterback who did that was Peyton Manning. And Wilson's 98 career wins are the most ever by a starting quarterback through 9 seasons in the NFL, 6 more than Peyton Manning's. He was a bit, it could be a stat of the day. All righty.
Stat of the day.
Just didn't want to cut you off.
Stat of the day. Stat of the day. Here comes that.
What?
Stat of the day.
But you got to be available. And, you know, that's why Philip Rivers always available. Eli was always available. Brett Favre always available. I want my quarterback, and I know he's going to be there because that's the most important person. Here's, you know, why Russell Wilson probably wants a seat at the table with the Seahawks to say, can you help me out here? He was sacked 47 times this season, 3rd most in the NFL. Here is the number. The 8th consecutive season with 40 or more sacks taken. That's the longest streak in league history. Now, as part of that on Russ, probably so. Extending a play. But it feels like every time I watch Seattle, it's 9-7 going into the 4th quarter. And then it feels like Pete Carroll goes, I don't know. This running game isn't working, Russ. Can you help us out? And then somehow, you know, the game ends up 16-9. But if I'm Russell Wilson, you know, After a while, I mean, he's going to start slowing down. I think, you know, you could watch. He got caught this year, you know, and he's normally very, very elusive. But if I'm Russell Wilson, I'd probably say to management, do you want me to stay around for a little while longer? Because if you do, can you help me out here? And yeah, give me some help here. Yeah, Paul.
The career leaders in getting sacked by quarterbacks, the most sacked quarterbacks in NFL history. Brett Favre, 525 times. Brady, 521 times. So that's the stat. Russell Wilson has been sacked 394 times in his career, an average of 44 times per year. At this pace, he will pass both Favre and Brady in just three seasons from now as the most sacked quarterback of all time. He'll be 35 years old. Brady was 43. Favre was 41. They're not even close. He's going to be the most sacked quarterback of all time by far.
Kyle in California. Hi, Kyle. What's on your mind?
Hey, DP. What's going on,
hey,
boys? I hate to say the words I'm about to say, but I agree with McLovin. It hurts.
Okay.
I know. I hate it. I hate it.
All right.
But the Joker is kind of boring to watch. You ever watch a Nuggets game? It's like, is Jamal Murray going to go for 12 points tonight, or is he going to go for 21? The Joker could go for 50 this year. And
he has.
You know, sometimes it is. I know he's done it like twice. You wouldn't even know it. You want to watch the Jazz play the Nuggets? Oh, let's watch Rudy Gobert back down Nikola Jokic. And then, you know, it's just like some of the best teams in the league right now, I think, are why there's so many, like, runaway weird stories, especially with some LeBron stuff. And I don't know. It's just like a weird season so far.
Yeah, it's been a boring season. Thank you, Kyle. Because the season ended, it felt like last month, and then all of a sudden we turn around and here we go. We're starting the season again. And I don't know if anybody's really picked up on any great storylines this year. Doc Rivers is going to join us on the program tomorrow. But, like, what are the great storylines? The Nets don't play defense. LeBron wants to win the MVP. Can the Greek Freak make free throws? Is Luka going to average a triple-double? Did the Clippers learn anything from last year? LaMelo Ball. Yes, McLovin.
Kyle had a great point there, by the way. The Jazz are also super boring. Like, backdoor cut from Joe Ingles to Jordan Clarkson. Click. Let's see what's main building masters or whatever you guys watch.
Main cabin masters. Yes, Fritzy.
And should they have the All-Star game has become quite a big topic. Oh, yeah. So that's kind of a stretch as far as what's going on in the world of the NBA.
Those aren't great storylines for a league. Hey, should they have the All-Star game? If they didn't have the All-Star game, I don't know if anybody'd miss it. You know. Wow. Let's see the slam dunk winner. Yeah, that's considering great.
You don't like the 173-168 game where they just let each other dunk and shoot threes?
No. And I don't like playing defense, but I still am like, all right. Yeah. I like when they battled each other a little bit. Meant something. All right, we'll take a break. More phone calls coming up. And Russell Wilson will join us after this. It's 19 after the hour, Dan Patrick Show. Callaway launched their Apex Irons. Golfers finally got to experience the feel and precision of a player's iron. All the technology, the benefits of a distance iron in there. And I have the Apex DCB. That's the deep cavity back. It's for higher handicaps. Now, I haven't been able to play that much. I usually play on the simulator. And my handicap is probably a 12 now. I was down to around a 5 point something years ago when I didn't care about my job or my family. But I think it's back up to a 12 now. These irons are great. And even those Big Bertha irons are awesome as well. The Callaway Apex Standard irons will fit a majority of swings. The Apex Pro, that's for a scratch golfer, single-digit handicap players. But you also have the new driver there. Epic Speed is... So there's so many things that Callaway does every year. I mean, they push the envelope. They are always, always innovators here. A lot of irons out there, but nothing delivers everything like Apex. Find out which Apex irons are right for you. CallawayGolf.com/Apex. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app, at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. This award-nominated program brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. They go far beyond, from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, to their five-star sales, service, and financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz Vans, built, equipped, and engineered to be ready for anything. Go the extra mile by taking that all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. He's Russell Wilson Jr. III, honored with the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. Also, he and his wife, Sierra, are on the cover of GQ, which hits the newsstands February 23rd. Good morning, Russ. How are you?
Dan, what's up, man? It's always great being on the show. How you been?
Where's the trophy?
Oh, man, the trophy's on its way right here. It's going to be sitting somewhere over here somewhere. It's heavy, though, man. It's like 75 pounds. I was lifting it up. You know? I had to use both hands.
Okay, is that your library?
Yeah, this is my office, yeah.
Okay. What do you have in it? What's the coolest thing you have in your office?
I got some good books here. Let's see here.
Have you read those books?
I haven't read them all, no. But the coolest thing I have in my office, man, I got some cool awards. I have this Lombardi Award that I won last year. That was pretty cool. I got some other cool things in here. I'm not going to say too much. I don't want somebody breaking in.
You should do a book club like Andrew Luck.
No book clubs for me right now.
What'd you think of the Super Bowl?
Man, I thought, first of all, the fact that we were able to get this far, you know, with everything going on with COVID and everything else, and for us to be there, I was sitting there watching the game, and it was pretty fascinating to just see, because, you know, all year we had no fans. So it was fascinating to see actually people there, the experience of it all. It felt real. But in terms of the game, you know, I think that Tom got up early, you know, and they threw a few touchdowns early on, and the reality is they couldn't block those guys on the other end. You know, they struggled with, you know, Patrick was running for his life the whole game, it felt like.
But I didn't understand why Kansas City didn't make adjustments with that offensive line, right? At halftime, don't you make adjustments to something like that?
Yeah, you know, I think they needed to adjust a little bit quicker in the game, and then next thing you know, the Bucks were already up, you know, pretty good, you know, in the first half, you know, so I think they were trying to catch up. You know, they're always trying to play catch up mode in that game. And, you know, obviously when you got guys like Tyreek running down the field and Kelsey, but I felt like they moved the ball in certain moments, but then they kind of got froze, you know, kind of stuck in the middle of the field. So that's where they had some problems.
But also, and Patrick Mahomes has mentioned this, he's trying for the big play. And not taking what the defense gives you. Like, do you understand that? And you probably went through this year where you guys were getting the big play, but you weren't getting other things.
Yeah, I think that the biggest thing that, you know, I had to be able to do is, you know, I had to slow those guys down up front for Patrick to be able to, you know, go through his reads. It looked like as soon as he kind of was hitting his back foot sometimes, and then other times, you know, they were trying to take shots down the field, you know, but I think that, they didn't adjust great, but also too, it didn't seem like they could handle the guys up front.
Does Brady do anything that you can't do?
Does he do anything that I can't do?
Yeah.
No, I don't think he does anything I can't do. You know, I think that he does everything extremely well. He's got great players. I mean, I was looking at the pregame warmups, right? And I'm watching the pregame warmups, and I'm seeing Gronkowski, I'm seeing Godwin, Evans, Antonio Brown, you know, they got Fournette. They got all these players around them. I mean, watching Antonio Brown on that deep hinge stop route that he ran 25 yards, boom, stopped on a dime. You'd have Gronkowski. I thought Leftwich called a great game and got Gronkowski open early in the game and got him open. That was really cool down in the red zone, some of the stuff they were doing. And I think that they made their plays, you know, when they really needed to, in that game.
Does Mahomes do anything you can't do?
No, man. I think that he can launch it long ways down the field. But I think I can do everything out there. You know, he's a really special player, though, man. I love watching him. I love watching his competitive drive. You know, the game was kind of out of hand there at the end. He just kept going for it, which I loved watching him go for it. You know, even though it didn't turn out the way he wanted it to, he's going to be a heck of a player for a long time.
How much input should the quarterback have in organizational moves, veteran quarterback?
Yeah, I think it depends on who it is. You know, I think.
Well, how about you? How much do you have any say in what Seattle does offensively with free agents or draft picks?
I think that it's, I think that ultimately for me personally, I think that I want to be able to be involved, because at the end of the day, it's your legacy. It's your team's legacy. It's, you know, it's the guys you get to go into the huddle with. And at the end of the day, those guys you got to trust, you know. When you think about, you know, one of the reasons why Tom went to Tampa was because he felt like he could trust those guys and Bruce was going to give him the opportunity. I think for, you know, every situation, you have to be able to go into a situation. You know, you think about guys like LeBron, he was able to, you know, be around great players that he can trust. I think for me, you know, anytime you bring free agents in, you know, other players, you want the best players, guys who love the game, guys you want to be a part of that. And as a player, you kind of know that. You get to be around Pro Bowls, you get to kind of see these guys, you get to be in the huddle with the linemen or receivers, or, you know, get to be around defensive guys. And so you kind of build that over time and get to see who can really play. You know, as a player, you really know. So I think that relationship's really key, and that dialogue between, you know, especially being a veteran player, you know, that dialogue is really important.
Yeah, but that's a long-winded way of not answering my question. Are you involved in personnel decisions? Have you been involved in personnel decisions?
Not as much. I don't, you know, I think that, you know, for
Do
for
you
me,
want to be involved, Russ?
Yeah, I think it helps. I think it helps to be involved more. But I think that dialogue should happen more often, in my opinion.
Yeah, but look, I'm worried about these numbers. You've been sacked 394 times in your career. So you're going to be the most sacked quarterback in the history of the game. Why?
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, sometimes you hold on to it a little bit, you know, just because you're looking for that play and you find those guys. But also so many times it turns into touchdowns too. But, you know, you never want to be sacked that many times. You know, 400 times up basically is way too many, 400 too many. You know, so I think that's a big thing that we got to fix. That's got to be fixed, you know, and has to be, you know, at the end of the day. Because my goal is to play, you know, 10 to 15 more years. And so when you think about that and longevity and legacy and all that, you know, you watched the game the other night, you know, the difference between that game was, you know, Tom was taking shots down the field and getting the ball, you know, to his guys and stuff like that. But, you know, he wasn't touched really. He got touched. I think he got sacked one time in the game, you know, early on, but, you know, throughout the
And this doesn't there. Even count, Russ, how many times you were hit. I mean, that's 394 sacks. Like, that's a lot. And
I think you also get away quite a bit too, you know. I get away some too.
You do. But that's a lot, but, though.
I think that, you know, we got to get better up front. I think that, and it's not just passing. I think, you know, in terms of everything you do, you know, it controls the game, as you watched the other night. I think, you know, and, you know, obviously guys like Dwayne are such amazing players, and, you know, to have him come in was a big thing that I really wanted to make sure that happened. I think that we all wanted to make sure that happened because we knew that what a great player Dwayne was, for example. So, you know, and I think that, you know, throughout the next 10 years, it's really important for me personally, but also just, you know, throughout, you know, my career, that, you know, we make sure that we do everything we can, including myself, do everything we can to make sure that doesn't happen.
We're talking to Russell Wilson. What do you make of CBS Jason Lockenforest saying that Seattle had gotten, you know, calls for possible, you know, trade talks with you? Do you believe that Seattle has gotten calls?
Yeah, I definitely believe they're getting calls for sure. I didn't think that, you know, I think anytime you're, a player that, you know, tries to produce every week and has done it for, you know, consistently, I think people are going to call for sure. And I think it's part of the process.
Yeah, but you're a franchise quarterback. You're a Hall of Fame quarterback. You're not available, are you?
Well, I'm not sure if I'm available or not. That's a Seahawks question. But I think more than anything else is, you know, I think at the end of the day, you want to win. You know, you play this game every day to wake up to win. You play this game, you know, to be the best in the world. You know, you know what I hate? I hate sitting there watching other guys play the game. There's nothing worse.
By the way, you looked miserable at the Super Bowl watching.
Yeah,
the
there's,
game.
A picture, there's a picture of Sierra and Roger talking. I'm sitting there just, well, I'm watching this game, like, you know, wishing that I was in there playing. So, you know, I think that I think that, you know, ultimately you watch the games and you know, you want to do everything you can to be there. That's why we play this game, you know? And so I think that part of it's really key. And I think that, you know, the reality of professional sports is, you know, things happen, things change. I'm not sure, you know, how long I'll play in Seattle. I think hopefully it was going to be, you know, be forever, you know, but things change obviously along the way. And I think that you focus on what you can control every day and try to be the best version of yourself and, you know, ultimately try to win championships. And I think that's, you know, that's why I play this game.
What's the cover on GQ? What's it look like with you and your wife?
You know, it just came out this, I think it's just coming out here this morning, or it's coming out soon here, but I think it'll look good. I think you'll like it. And Dan, I know you and C have that good relationship. I know you guys are really close.
We're not that close that much anymore. You know, once you got married, so I had to be respectful. So, I mean,
you backed up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I backed away and I was respectful.
I got you.
Where is she right now?
I think she's with the kids right now. It's early on the east, on the West Coast. So
it's 7:30. I mean, yeah, she still looks great. Can she do a drive-by? Can you just say, hey, C, can you come in here and say hello to Dan?
She's on the other side of the house. She's with, I think, Lil Wynn right now.
Wait, how big is the house?
I don't know. It's big enough.
It's not like a two-bedroom apartment that you're in, right?
No, we're not a two-bedroom.
What are you doing in the off-season?
Man, just getting ready. I think, you know, every day you try to get ready, try to get prepared. We have a pretty cool business too called Limitless Minds. That's growing like crazy. I think you've talked to Trevor before. You know, it's that business. My brother Harry, DJ, that business is growing. We're working with some of the best companies in the world. We have the House of LRNC from a business standpoint too. That's really growing with Christine Day. She was the former CEO of Lululemon, and me and Sierra and Christine are, and the rest of the team, we're running that business. And so it's good because I don't have to focus on that every day. You know, I have a great team, like people like Christine and
but what is that
Harry
business though, Russ? What is
our fast line? So we have a Good Man brand, which is our clothing line, which has been massive and it's been growing like crazy. And the Good Man brand, it's we give 3% back to the YNIU Foundation. We give all those proceeds to the Friends of the Children. It's an amazing program, and it's you know, it's a great clothing line. It's a great shoes, everything you could want to wear. I can run a 40-yard dash in these pants, I'm telling you. And then we also have Human Nation that's underneath the House of LRNC. So imagine
how fast do you run the 40-yard dash?
Well, I'm a guy that can run way faster than you, Dan. That's for sure.
Well, I know that, but I hope so. But what do you run the 40 now?
Well, I'm probably a low 4.5 guy right now. I'm more quick than fast though. Like the awareness of being like get in and out of things, I think is what's key, especially playing my position, because you're in small movements, right? So you're getting in and out of the pocket. You're sliding to the right, sliding to the left, spinning out. So I think that's what I really concentrate on. But you know, right now in this time of year, it's really just trying to get ready for the season, and you know, trying to, you know, get prepared and trying to be the best version of yourself.
How are the kids?
Man, Future's growing up fast. You know, he's getting ready for all these sports and stuff like that, trying to be safe as possible. And he's getting tall and fast and athletic. And then you have Sienna, who's, you know, she knows everything. She's going to run for president one day, I'm sure. and then you have Wynn, who's, you know, 6 months, who, you know, is getting ready to, I feel like he's going to run before he ever walks. So he's ready to roll. So the kids are great. It's the best part of, you know, after the season, you really get to, you know, spend time with your kids and balance all that out.
You know, quarterbacks hate three and out, but are you three and out? That's it? Three kids?
Oh, I'm pushing C for more. She wants to have more too, but we'll see what happens.
Go for it on fourth down is what I would do if I were you. Don't tell her I said that. Congrats on the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, and it's a great honor. And I don't know if it hits you what it meant to you. Can you describe it?
Yeah, man. My whole life, you know, my dad used to talk about Walter Payton and what a man he was, the legacy that he lived and everything else. And I think, you know, my dad not being here anymore, I think the reality is that, you know, to be able to serve and give back, it's the greatest gift, you know, in the world, you know. And I think that whenever I got in Seattle in 2012, I wanted to be able to serve and give back to the community and everything else. So that's been something that I've been super passionate about. I've met almost 1,000 some kids in Seattle Children's Hospital. We've been able to do so many cool things with, you know, pediatric cancer with our Why Not You Foundation, and Why Not You Foundation doing so many things with, you know, Ride United program this offseason and everything else that we've been able to do along the way, especially with COVID that's happened, and I'm a voter campaign, and just, it's been a journey, you know, it's been a journey, especially in 2020 with all the people that we've lost, you know, all the people that you care about and all the people that you've gotten to know that have experienced different things. Also all the things going on racially in America. It was important for me and C to get involved and to, you know, even to partner up with, you know, Wheels Up to do Meals Up with Kenny Dichter. It was a blessing to be able to give back and just really try to make a difference as much as we could. And so, you know, I think that I told C, you know, the cool part is it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning of really being able to make a difference. And hopefully we can continue to do that along the way.
I think your dad went to McLovin's alma mater. Your dad went to Dartmouth?
He did, yeah.
McLovin went to Dartmouth. Yeah. I don't know what that means. I mean, your dad was an athlete and McLovin wasn't. Did Dartmouth recruit you?
They did, actually. Buddy Tevens, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Buddy Tevens. I went up to Dartmouth. Went up there, I don't know, I was probably 10th grade or something like that. And my cousin was actually playing basketball. She was playing basketball at University of Penn. So I went up there, everything else. And Buddy Tevens, you know, my dad and Buddy Tevens were really close, actually. They had a really good relationship. My dad played football and baseball there and everything. And so I went there, beautiful camp. I mean, it was so much snow. It was probably, 12 feet of snow when I went up there. I was like, I'm not coming here. But anyways, you know, my dad, he loved Dartmouth, the Big Green, you know? And so that was always fun to be up there. And my Uncle Ben and everything else, we had a good time.
Hey, good to talk to you. Have a good off season, and we'll stay in touch and tell your wife I said hello.
Okay, boss. I'll good seeing you, man. McLovin, see you later, bud.
Well, all right. You imagine, could Russ have started for Dartmouth there, McLovin?
You know, I was there with Jay Fiedler, who made the NFL.
Yeah.
So it would have
been
interesting.
Yeah.
I think Russ might have made the cut.
I don't know. We'll take a break here. We'll recap some of the things we went over there with Russ. And back after this on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Rory McIlroy teams up with Peacock to bring you the all-new Golf Pass channel. Watch premier instructions and entertainment from the Golf Membership Program, plus daily news from Golf Channel. Sign up at PeacockTV.com. Start streaming now. I came out of the other side of the man cave here, and I went to the Danettes, and I said, was I tough on Russ? And, you know, I like him, but I wanted answers there. Because I was surprised that he came on, because he really wasn't selling anything. He's a friend of the show. But the timing of this, where, you know, does he want to be involved in personnel decisions? He just watched Tom Brady win a Super Bowl where Tom Brady had input on personnel decisions. And he mentions Gronk, Antonio Brown, and Leonard Fournette by name. It's not lost on Russell Wilson that he is running for his life. He'll end up as the most sacked quarterback in the history of the sport, and he doesn't have any say in personnel decisions here. And I've said before, I don't think he ends his career in Seattle, but I got the feeling that Russell wanted to address this now in his manner, which is not really declarative, but I think he wanted to let people know, hey, you know, sort of read between the lines here. I'd like to have a seat at the table, and he's smart enough to know that I'm going to ask this question, because what has happened and the fact that, you know, are they receiving phone calls for Russell Wilson, trade talks? And he said, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Now, he could have dodged that. But, look, I appreciate him joining us and sitting there, and it probably made him squirm a little bit. Yeah, Paul.
You asked him, do you have any say with free agency and your team? And he said, I want to be involved. It's your legacy. It's your team. That's why Tom went to Tampa. For me, you bring free agents in. That's why you do this. You also asked, are you involved in personnel decisions right now? Not as much as I'd like to be. It helps to be involved. It should happen more often. You know, his tone is very casual, but he said what he said.
Yeah, that is in Russell Wilson's vernacular. That's him being a flamethrower, you know. you want it to get out there. He can't continue this kind of career and have, you know, he wants to play 10 more years. He can't do it at this pace. All right, McLovin, do we have an against the grain today?
Yeah.
Do we have a mid-morning against the grain?
Tuesday mid-morning quarterback against the grain.
Wow.
TMM QB.
Wow.
Super Bowl edition. Hit the music.
All righty.
For years on the show, we debated, is Tom Brady a system quarterback? I think this quote from Tom Brady after the game pretty much confirms everything I've been saying all these years. Please play it.
It takes a lot of people for us to get to this point. And, you know, we all have great support systems in place. And I think everyone should be celebrating them tonight.
Wait. Are you using support system?
I didn't hear
to back
support.
Up
heard...
your system quarterback?
He just said we have a great system in place. He basically said
this
was
about
a system.
Support system.
I didn't hear that. I must have been cut off on it. But yeah, so he's a system quarterback. He's admitting it. But not only that was the only thing that the Super Bowl confirmed. It confirmed a draft take that I had 9 years ago that finally came to fruition, Dan. Please play this clip about a certain quarterback from Missouri, please.
You did say that Blaine Gabbert would make Canton one day.
Yes.
He did make Canton. He's just not going to make the Hall of Fame.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, all right.
Well, I did mention his name in bust. I said there will be a bust, not that he will be a bust. There was some confusion there. My guy Blaine Gabbert is a Super Bowl champion, is a backup quarterback for Tampa Bay Buccaneers before any of those other 2011 draft quarterbacks.
You said that he would get a Super Bowl ring one day.
I did. He was the first one to hug Tommy. That's got to be worth something.
Oh, he's got to hold on for dear life to Tom Brady.
Now, the last...
Because, you know, at some point, Tampa has to go, who is our quarterback in waiting? like you do. Here we are looking at these other quarterbacks. Like, you got Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, Phillip Rivers, all of these quarterbacks, and everybody was looking for... You know, who's going to take over for these guys? At some point, Tampa's going to have to address that.
But everyone's saying Aaron Rodgers is just going to jump over there. And lastly, I was going to flirt with calling Patrick Mahomes a system quarterback, but the fact that he can fall down, throw the ball 40 yards on the air, that's not very system.
How do you call him a system quarterback?
Well, I mean...
It's his system.
Mahomes or Brady?
Mahomes has his own system.
What are you talking about? He's the Andy Reid quarterback if I ever saw one.
Yeah, because that does he remind you of any other Andy Reid quarterbacks?
Yes, he's basically the same thing happened to him that happened in the 2002 title game. They didn't protect Donovan McNabb, and the Eagles, big favorites, lost the game just for the same reason. Bucks did the same thing.
Is there anybody who is not a system quarterback? You're a knucklehead.
By the way, it's amazing to me. After all these years, I could still get you mad instantly.
I know.
It's an incredible ability.
You
I don't know if anyone in your life could do that.
No. You do it. As soon as you bring up the system quarterback stuff. Thank you, McLovin. That's McLovin's Against the Grain. All righty. Yeah, Russ has been sacked almost 400 times. I don't know how many times he's been hit. I don't know if StatSync, because, you know, that's the thing with Mahomes. You might sack him just a couple times. How many times do you hit him? Because when you hit these guys, as Michael Strahan talked about when they faced Brady, he said, look, he took it like a man. We hit him every single time we could hit him. And then that frustration starts to set in. And that's when Brady was yelling at his offensive lineman. Patrick Mahomes will join us one of these days after he has toe surgery. He's having toe surgery tomorrow. But... Nick Wrong from Fox Sports 1 will join us. And were the Super Bowl numbers down? And if so, why? We'll explore that coming up. Final hour, Dan and the Danette, Dan Patrick Show. One more item as we close out the second hour. Any credit card can offer cash back, but only Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. It's like getting one of those birthday cards that's shaped like cash. You already know there's cash inside before you open it up. But in this case... Get stuff with your first year cashback match, and you don't even have to send a thank you note. It's conveniently called Cashback Match, only by Discover Card. You can learn more. Discover.com/match. Discover.com/match. Discover something brighter.